Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and today on King's Kids, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is sharing with us the addiction of gambling and how he was able to break that addiction. Before we hear from Tony, let's hear from Rick Elias with the Rich Mullins song, My Deliverer.
Yeah. Today I want to talk about gambling. It's a big problem in the Aboriginal community, but it's also a big problem in the white community as well. And it's an addiction. It's like a sickness. And once you start, you can't give it up. It's very hard to quit. It's like any other addiction. Years ago, before I got saved, I remember my dad. He was a compulsive gambler. But my dad worked three jobs. He didn't drink, and you know, he didn't do a lot of other things, but he worked three jobs, and gambling was his passion. Over the years, I've seen my dad win a lot of money, but I've seen him lose a lot of money as well. It was just something. But Dad always made sure Mum had the groceries, all the bills were paid, and Dad only ever gambled, most of the time, with what he could afford to lose. But I remember as a kid, there was this business in town, and Dad didn't want to go into the business, but he used to give us an envelope with a note in it. I have no idea what was in the note. Up until this day, I still wonder what was in the note, because every time we went into this store, this old white fellow who owned this business, he'd always put money in the envelope to take back to him. And sometimes it was 50 quid. And I'm talking pounds, not dollars. 50 quid was a lot of money. And I thought Dad might have been blackmailing this fella or something. You know, it was just a little kid wondering, you know, why is this white fella giving Dad all this money? A funny story. This is funny. Dad was teaching me how to drive. I didn't have L plates. And I was driving down this main road, and all of a sudden, I noticed in the rearview mirror that the police car was behind me, and his lights went on. And I said, oh, no, I'm done here. Got no license, no learner's permit, you know, and this cop was pulling me over for driving Dad's car. No, I didn't even have L plates on the car. Anyway, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and the cop will pull me over because he thought it was my dad driving. Anyway, he came up to the window, and he said to my dad, he said, here's this $50 I borrowed off you last week. They was betting mates. What used to happen was when Dad got paid, Dad used to give him $50. And then the next week when he got paid, he'd give it back to Dad. You know, my heart stopped when this guy pulled me over because I was driving illegally. And he didn't even ask me for a learner's permit. He didn't ask me anything. All he wanted to do was talk to Dad about gambling. When I was robbing banks, I remember coming home for a visit. And early in the week, we just robbed a bank. So money wasn't an issue. And I got up and I saw this guy in Dad's backyard with Dad's greyhound. Dad was a greyhound trainer. For people that know anything about greyhounds, some people can give them a needle to make them go or a needle to stop them. And I saw this guy in Dad's backyard giving the dog a needle. And when I got to the track, I never saw Dad. And I just assumed they was giving him a needle to make him go. And I put $10,000 on Dad's dog to win on the nose. And about 5 minutes before the race, I ran into Dad and I said, Dad, I showed him the ticket. He was 6-4, and I showed him the ticket. I had 10 grand on it, on the nose. And Dad said, he's not going to win. I said, what do you mean he's not going to win? I said, I saw him giving him the needle. He said, yeah, he's stopping him. You know, the drug is to stop him, not for him to win. And I said, well, what dog's going to win if he's not going to win? He said, oh, the four dog's going to win. So I knocked women and kids over to get to the car park to get some money out of the boot of my car. You know, and I went and put a bet on. At the end of the race, all I got back was me money. I only had enough to put on it to get me money back. And, you know, the drug nearly didn't work because Dad's dog led into the straight by about 20 yards. 10 yards ago, he stopped like he hit a brick wall. But, you know, that's gambling. The anxiety of gambling and punting and the stresses of losing. You know, it's just so hard. The first time I ever had a bet, I was only about 16. I went into the tab and went to put $5 on a horse, and a bloke gave me the wrong ticket and I put it out and it won at 50-1. That was my downfall because it won, my first bet won, and then I couldn't give it up. I just couldn't let it go. We all picked it up from Dad, like the sins of the fathers passed down, you know what I mean? And it was just a habit. For years it was a problem before I got saved. And even after I got saved a little bit, it was a problem when I got out of jail just for a little bit. Then God just took it away. Over the years, it's been a struggle. It's not just the gambling and losing the money, it's the lies that go with it. Because then you're lying to your wife, you're lying to your friends, and it's an addiction. You know, you got to have a bet. You get so desperate sometimes you want to bet on two flies on the wall or see which one's going to fly away first. You know, it becomes really a sad addiction. And then over the years, I kept saying to God, I said, God, why is it when I don't want to do this, every now and again, I'll take $5 and put it on something, but I don't want to do it. And you know what? All I kept hearing from God was, when you really feed income and want to give it away, I'll take it away from you. And you know, and I remembered the day really well when God took it away from me. I just woke up one day and the desire, it was like an addiction. It was like a junkie waiting to have a needle. And the desire to gamble was gone. God just took it away from me. And then over the years, I watched my friends and family members just gamble everything away. I remember recently going to the club with a friend of mine. I went to the club because it was Anzac Day, and I'm an ex-serviceman. So I went to the club to celebrate with my ex-serviceman mates and to celebrate Anzac Day. And I ran into this friend of mine. He lost $400, you know, playing two up. But what happened was we had a meal together. Then he borrowed some money off somebody. And I said to him, my friend, I think you ought to go home. I think you've lost enough. And I thought he lost about $600 or $700. And when I asked him when he left, he lost $2,200. And he couldn't afford it. And that particular day at the club, I watched all these people in the club, the lonely faces, the sad people. They're just addicted to these poker machines, and they just sit there and they just play them. And the ones that are smiling, they're winning on the day, but they don't win in the long run. You know, people put their whole pay packets through the poker machines. And over the years, I watched people do that, put all their money into these stupid things. Even when you win, you're still a loser because you keep giving it back. You keep giving it back. Relationships are so destroyed by lies, by addictions, by gambling. You can't imagine what it's like to lose your whole business. And I've known people that have lost their whole business, lost their house because they couldn't make the payments, because they're addicted. You go down to the club, any club, and I challenge you to have a look at the people playing the poker machines. They're so sad and they're so miserable because they can't ever get it all back. I remember a bloke won $5,000 one day on the poker machines. Instead of taking the money and leaving, by the time he left, he had $1,500 left out of a $5,000 win. See, that's an addiction. That's a sickness. And when it gets a hold of you, you just can't let it go. And I know because I used to gamble, and I used to gamble a lot before I got saved. There's no such thing as a sure thing. For those of you who remember old Ken Howard, he was a race caller. And old Ken Howard used to say, you don't bet odds on and you don't run up steps, because sooner or later you're going to fall over. And odds on favourites fall over all the time. I watched a friend of mine only recently. He put $1,000 on a $1.35 shot, a football team, expected to win, and they lost. $1,000 to win $350. Wow. What a big loss that was. And then he chased it up with something else. You try watching the football with someone that's got money riding on a game, they don't enjoy football anymore. They're just watching the result, watching the result. You know, sometimes I reckon they speak things in the beans. They think, oh, this thing's going to get beat. And when they get beat, they're not disappointed because if they were sure it was going to get beat, then why bet on it? I'm tired and tired of seeing our people lose and lose. People lose money to the point where there's no way out for them. I remember somebody once that was so addicted to gambling. He was so much in debt, and the only way out for him was to commit suicide. The debts were so mounting. I saw something on the TV the other day. It was on the news, actually. They showed this guy in Italy walking into a club with a sledgehammer, and people were playing the poker machines, and he attacked the poker machines with a sledgehammer, and he smashed them to pieces and then just calmly walked back out and onto the street. And you know what was said? Oh, it's okay because he lost $7,000 in the last 2 days. I've known people that have actually killed themselves because of gambling debts, because they get so far into debt. You know, I worked in welfare for a long time, dealing with emergency relief and helping people struggling to pay their bills. And, you know, a lot of the time people would come to you, and the lies and the lengths of, they would go to deceive you into giving them money, to giving them cash. You know, I remember one family come to us once and they had this little boy, and they said the little boy was sick and he needed to go to a specialist, and we gave them $500 for the emergency relief to go away to take this little boy to hospital, because we took people at their word. We didn't look into it, and we should have looked into it. And you know what happened? They came back the next week with the same little boy dressed as a girl. We got to take this little girl to the specialist, and then I'd woken up, that was the same kid. People will go to extraordinary lengths to get money to gamble, and it's so sad. And when you see people that they go into the TABs and that, and they go to the pubs and where the gambling, where they can gamble all the time. I remember years ago, a long time ago when I was a kid, my dad went to this gamble. Dad always used to go to gambling houses. I remember he went to this one place once and the police were going to raid it. And the bloke that was running the gambling joint, he got a phone call from the police that they were coming. Anyway, he said, you pick 2-3 people out, he said, that's never been arrested before, he said. And he said, we'll arrest them, he said, and you can pay their fine and it'll be all over and done with it. But back in them days, you didn't have to go to court, it was a fine. But this guy, you know, he was a gambler all his life. And when my dad died, I went over to the cemetery and I was looking at the headstones, and I saw his headstone, and there was the Ace of Hearts on his headstone. And you know what it said? The writing really caught my eye. It said, he's been a gambler all his life, but God dealt the last hand. And it just really took me back to see that, you know, he gambled all his life, and he did take a gamble. If he didn't know God, if he didn't know God as his Lord and Saviour when he died, I mean, I wasn't there, I don't know. But if God dealt the last hand, then you want to hope he had a winning hand. You want to hope he had four aces. And by what I mean by four aces is you want to hope that he was saved. It's an addiction. It's a sickness. And you know what? When you live with somebody that's a gambler, it's very hard on the family. It's very hard on relationships. When you go to pay the bills and the money's not there, you know, and then you start lying to your spouse, you start lying to your children why they can't go on school excursions. You lie to them why there's no food to put on the table. It's so sad. And it's something that we don't have to put up with, because, you know, you can get help. And I know people say you can go to Gamblers Anonymous, but it doesn't really work, because it's like being an alcoholic. They say you're one step away from being an alcoholic again the moment you pick it up and start drinking again. And these steps, they're well-intentioned, they're good intention, and it works for some people. But you know what? For all the addictions that we have in the world, there's one answer. It's called Jesus Christ. If you're really fair dinkum and you want to give up gambling, you want to give up taking drugs, or you want to give up lying about it and living in denial, there's only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can help you, because he can take it away from you. I've seen drug addicts have their addiction taken away from them when they got fair dinkum with God, and they become Christians and they ask God to help them. I've seen other people, gamblers, you know, including myself, talk to God, and when you're fair dinkum with God, God will step in and help.
Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. And he never sinned, but suffered as if he did.
Overcome by Jeremy Camp. Thanks, Tony, for sharing your personal experience with gambling. In today's society, it's easy to get addicted to gambling. We have social media, television, and radio to keep our senses alert to where we are able to feed our addictions. While all these outlets promise thrills and excitement, Scripture gives us very specific instructions about what our attitude should be toward money. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10 says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless."
I just want to finish on this. You know, when my dad died, I got up and did the eulogy because my dad got saved 3 weeks before he died. And I got a chance to share and witness to all these gambling mates that used to come, even the TAB manager and the owner of the TAB was there, and I got to witness to him as well. And I shared about how my father found God and God found him. Was that nobody preached to my dad, He used to drop Mum off to the church every week, and he wouldn't go inside. But one day somebody came to the family home and they left a DVD called Jesus of Nazareth. And one day when he was sitting by himself, he actually watched it right through. When Mum came home from church, he gave his heart to the Lord. I'm glad that the Lord took my dad when he did, because I'm afraid that his gamble addiction would have been too much for him. I'm glad God took him home to be with him when he did, because he made that commitment. He was dying of cancer and he hadn't had a bet for a month, you know, and it was really good that God took him when he did. No matter where you go in Australia, you see the blackfellas, and if you're looking for the TAB, you say, where's the Blackfellas Credit Union? It's the TAB. I laughed and I heard it the very first time I heard it. And you know why they call it the Blackfellas Credit Union? Because you mainly put money in, but you don't get it back.
We hope you've enjoyed today's program. We'll be back here next week. Until then, you can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or Tony would love to take your call and answer any questions you may have. Ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474.